Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Check it, 12 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk live worldwide. If you listen to us live, this is the Saturday edition, of course, February 20th, 2021. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. We take it to the East Coast, of course, and bring in the Bronx Bomber, the true PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer himself. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. How's it going?
Pretty good. Sounds like you got it going on in the background there. Let's talk about Richard Comey. Big right hand, but poor Mr. Jackson Morenes, he was put in that fight because he got robbed in the prior fight against Rolly Romero. In fact, had he not been robbed by those three judges, he'd have been defending the title and not getting beat up for $25,000.
You know what, Pedro? You brought that up last week in the phone call that we had, and it's like that whole, if a tree falls in the forest, do you hear it? You know, you talk about a kid's career being ruined. He went from contender to should have been called, you know, a champion. Now he's going to be fodder. He's going to be a stepping stone opponent.
You know, the same thing sort of happened to Jeff Fennec when he fought Azuma Nelson the first time. They called it a draw, but Grandmaster Bill, one of my house historians, scored it the other day on YouTube, and I think he scored it like 9.
No one's going to, you know, blink.
Yeah, he scored it 9-3 for Fennec, and of course, Azuma Nelson, they got a draw out of that, and then Fennec got so emotionally depressed after that. You know, I mean, I've told you this before. It's like sitting down in Las Vegas for a fighter and getting blackjack, getting a king and an ace, and you got a big fat $100,000 sitting in the middle of the table there, and then the dealer lets some guy that has a 17 win, and he pushes all the money his way. That's the best way I could describe getting robbed in boxing, especially in Vegas.
Total robbery, and, you know, how many times are we going to say a black eye for boxing?
But, okay. All right, let's move on. Speaking of black guy, you sort of leaning towards a totally unheard of guy, Mr. Lara from Mexico last week. You sort of leaned towards him beating Josh Warrington. Why were you leaning that way?
You know, there's something that happens when the fighter's inactive, you know, and that's a dilemma that a lot of fighters, you know, as we, you know, in this world of COVID-19, they're dealing with. And Warrington hadn't fought in about 2 years. And also the fact that Warrington is not a power puncher. And these guys that at these lighter weight classes, I'm talking about from lightweight down featherweight, eventually that stuff catches up to them and they get the you-know-what handed to them. And Lara is Mexican. I mean, I can't, you know, I can't say that wasn't a factor. You talk about when you come from a fighting culture, and also the fact that he was about 8 years younger, I believe.
You know, speaking of Mexicans, I mean, when you have great Mexican fighters, they on occasion lose, especially on the way up. Salvador Sanchez lost to a guy named Antonio Becerra back in 1977. Of course, he was a 13-2 at the time, finished 27-8. That was down there in Mazatlan. And of course, I mean, guys lose early fights. Burchelt lost to a guy named Luis Eduardo Flores, I think in 2014. I think that was might have been a TKO. Bottom line, he's 37-1, 33 KOs. Of course, Oscar Valdez, the former WBO 126-pound champion. This is going to rock tonight on ESPN, Socrates. The odds right now are -360 for Beltrout, according to Bovada, and +270 for Oscar. Olympic gold medalist from Mexico as an amateur boxer. That doesn't happen too often, does it? We lost Socrates. Let's try to get him back together there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, tonight they're rock and roll on ESPN. WBC 130-pound title, Burchelt. So I said 37-1, 33 KOs. 30 was stopped at one time by Mr. Flores. Of course, Flores went on to be a club fighter. Of course, much like the guy that beat Salvador Sanchez. Sanchez, of course, the great fighter that died in 1982. Of course, when he ran into the back of that chicken truck in his Corvette. 44-1, one draw, 32 KOs. Salvador Sanchez, of course, the icon that he was. But people lose on the way up, especially Mexican fighters, and their losses are considered learning experiences, except for Julio Cesar Chavez. Of course, he went to 87-0 with an asterisk. We could talk about that. That's another story for another day. But back to the boxing PhD on the line from the East Coast. You were talking about Warrington getting licked like that, and his time was up. You know, Berry Gordy told me he got out of boxing. Berry Gordy is the president of Motown Records. He got out of boxing. He was trained by Eddie Futch. He got out of boxing because he wasn't going to get a title, and he wasn't going to win a title, and Eddie Futch told him that. Eddie said, you're good, but you can't punch. You're punching. He's like, he was a bantamweight, 13-2 with like four knockouts. And he said, you know, then I realized all the singers were getting girls every day of the year, when guys would only get girls every 3 or 4 months after a fight. So the bottom line was, he realized he went to music. So that was the story. That's how Berry Gordy got out of boxing. Eddie Futch talked him out of it, Sock.
As very smart business decision. Absolutely. Wow, I didn't know that, Mr. Gordy was a former pugilist.
A former pugilist. And, you know, when I saw him at Eddie Futch's funeral, we talked about different things about Motown. And you know what? Every time I get together with guys in the music industry, they want to talk boxing. And I want, like Mary Wilson, she wanted to talk, but I wanted to talk about the Supremes. I want to talk about Hissville, USA. Of course, she passed away a fortnight ago. And of course, today is Smokey Robinson's birthday. And I want to mention that, Sock, because I jumped up on stage with him. Actually, he called me up on stage. This is what he said. We got a sold out Circle Star Theater. I kid you not. And I'm with his insecure girlfriend. So I'm wearing a white suit. It's like Saturday Night Fever days. I got the white suit on, the double breasted suit, the whole nine yards. And he says, I'm taking a picture. And I'm taking a picture of him. And he says, hey, you're the best dressed dude in the entire house. Come here. And he had to go. Yeah. And he had to go up the stairs to get on the stage. This was a stage. It was a circle in the round of this theater. So I got up on the stage. He said, what's your name? And I said, my name's Pete Fernandez, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was a little modest, I was a little taken back by it. And then he said to me, what do you want to hear? I said, how about I second that emotion? He said, okay, can you dance? I said, I think so. He goes, you're going to have to, because you're going to dance with my girl here. So I danced with this background singer for two songs. I went back to my seat. The girls were ripping at me. Okay. And my girlfriend was the insecure girl that she was. She was the only woman in the house that didn't appreciate it.
Wow. That's a cool story. Wow.
Yeah, you know, it just happens, but I enjoy. Listen, he pulls people on the stage for a lot of concerts. I mean, that's part of his shtick. It's part of his MMO. It allows him to break things up and get his head together and things like that. But he treated me well. And then he invited us to a party afterwards, a post-fight or a post-concert party at the Circle Star Theater down there. I think it was at the some place on El Camino Real in Belmont. And we went. He never showed up, but the floaters were there. I don't know if you remember the disco guys, the float on. They were there. Bottom line was, Smokey Robinson, that was an incredible evening. Today is his 81st birthday. Happy birthday to the Smoke. Now, before we go to the break, what do you think about tonight's fight? Think about that, because I'm going to ask you after the break, and I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot as far as the predictions are concerned. But we've got an Olympic gold medalist. I mean, not too many Mexicans have won gold medals in the Olympics, have they?
You know, none necessarily jumps out at me. Intriguing matchup.
Yet they're the greatest pound-for-pound per capita of boxing champions in the world. How do you figure that? As a pro, they're rocking and rolling. As the amateurs, maybe not so much.
It's something to do, I'm sure, with getting paid to get hit in the face. So, you know, and those fighters that come from Mexico don't come from the most illustrious backgrounds economically.
I let them hit me for free, and I wasn't coming from the greatest economic background. I was eating, but, you know, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is strange, yes, that despite being maybe arguably the boxing capital of the world, they don't have that Olympic pedigree like other countries. But, you know, Oscar Valdez is the truth. You know, he's a really good fighter. And tonight is almost like a little early Christmas present for the fight fans. It's a fight that can go either way, him and Burchelt. And it's a really intriguing matchup of the two guys with different styles, you know, but both aggressive. It should be fireworks. I'm leaning Valdez. I think that the better boxer in this matchup has a chance if he fights a smart fight. If he doesn't fight a balls to the wall war, then he's going to lose. But if he fights a disciplined fight, I can see Valdez pulling out a close decision.
Okay, the boxing PhD is betting on a +270 underdog. More power to him. We'll talk about that after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. If you'd like to test his boxing will, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. On the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we're going to have some fun. We'll bring in WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman, and we'll bring in Dr. Netti. Of course, he is a neurosurgeon, John Hopkins, all that kind of good stuff. Our brain doctor will be on the show tomorrow, and I'll be talking about squares in boxing, white-collar boxing. It's all over the place, but is it cool? We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. HBO days, of course, Earthquake, a comedian you can check online. In fact, mostly everybody's going like these virtual concerts now. I know the Tower of Power, speaking of Tower of Power, they've been doing some virtual work. They are going to have a PBS special next week, the 27th of February, the Tower of Power, 50 Years of Funk and Soul. It's on PBS. Check it out. Probably be your only shot because I think you're going to DVDs, no doubt about that. Today I'm boxing here, so you want to bring this up. Four big fights in Mexico City, 1993, a fight that Greg Hogan will remember for the rest of his life. Julio Cesar Chavez, KO5, Greg Hogan. Of course, Hogan went down there saying that Julio Cesar Chavez had fought nothing but a bunch of Tijuana cab drivers. After the fight, he said, quote, "Well, they must have been some tough-ass cab drivers," end of quote. Good old Greg Hogan. Back to the boxing PhD on the line, of course, from the Bronx, talk about Socrates Palmer. Soc, guys are talking about, you know, wanting to come back and make all kinds of money. Sean Porter, you know, he has been semi-active. I mean, he's been a guy that, you know, he's doing TV and some broadcasting, but he's active to an extent. He turned down $2 million to fight Terrence Crawford this week. Is that a smart move business-wise?
Well, that's the story out on the internet this week. You know, I don't know what Terrence Crawford, Sean Porter's highest payday has been up to this point. I'm sure no fighter wants to take a step backwards. I mean, he's fought Errol Spence. He's fought Adrian Broner, probably his two biggest opponents. I don't know if he made more than $2 million. I want to say he probably did. He's fighting a guy that's considered the best fighter in the world, in Terrence Crawford, or
really?
Certainly in the discussion. Yeah. I mean, it makes you scratch your head also. I mean, $2 million is $2 million, but at the end of the day, you know, a fighter doesn't necessarily bring home that $2 million after he pays off, you know, all his handlers and managers and promoters and whatnot. So, you know, maybe he's holding out for a little bit more, you know, and I can't knock that. But at the same time, you know, Sean Porter, what other options are there for him? You know, he's pretty much run the gamut with all the PBC welterweights. So, you know, you have a chance to fight the best in the world, you know. You kind of try to make it happen. You know what I mean? And I can't knock it either way.
Okay. A guy from your neck of the woods, Mike Jones and Dennis Rapoport, of course, the Wacko Twins, that's what they called them in the boxing media. I'm talking about the guys that piloted Jerry Cooney to his aborted run at the heavyweight title, of course, getting knocked out by Larry Holmes. Probably could have been knocked out in the second round. Larry, you know what Larry told me before he and Jerry became friends? He and Jerry are real tight right now. But I'll say this. I can say it. He didn't care. He told me, "I could have knocked Jerry Cooney out in that second round." He goes, "But I was going to punish him. I was going to punish him." And I said, "Why?" He goes, "I was slighted throughout the entire promotion." You talk about a racist promotion. He goes, "Don King was throwing it, and I felt like I was like the end guy." I mean, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he almost knocks him out in the second round. He goes 13 rounds. They become friends later. But at that point in time, Larry wanted to punish him. Oh, of course, Jerry Cooney, I don't know if you remember this, but Jerry Cooney was introduced second that night. Larry Holmes was the heavyweight champion of the world, and he went in first. And I don't ever remember that ever taking place in boxing history before or after the champion being announced first.
No, I can't remember the last time either. And,
the great White Hope.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Ronald Reagan call him in the locker room prior to the fight?
You can say that he had a lot of people pulling for him. Speaking of people pulling for him, Adrian Broner is a -750 favorite tonight against Giovanni Santiago. Santiago's +475 as far as the betting's concerned. Is Adrian Broner in shape?
It's another guy. He hasn't fought in 2 years. I would say he's in shape for the opponent that he's fighting. You know, obviously, you know, he hasn't fought in 2 years. He is like a lightning rod. You know, he's very polarizing. Either you hate him, or you kind of like his buffoonery. Mm-hmm. You know, he brings attention to the sport.
Or you're like me, or you're like me in the middle. I'm in the middle on that one. I mean, sometimes he's cool, and other times I cringe up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's like a troll. You know, he's to borrow a phrase from the internet. You know, he's like the boxing troll. And me personally, I don't have a problem with it because boxing, we need characters, and boxing's healthy when you have different personalities, which is probably the biggest difference between boxing and MMA. Adrian Broner is going to bring ratings. You want to see him in a competitive fight. Today, I understand, is a stay busy fight, but probably the biggest disappointment is that prior to when they announced the fight, it was supposed to be 140 pounds and all this talk about him even going back down to lightweight at 135, and then he can't make the contracted weight and have to adjust it. You know, so it makes you scratch your head. Is it the same old Adrian Broner, you know, but then again, he hasn't fought in 2 years. Let's see how he looks, and then hopefully they keep him busy, you know, so he doesn't balloon up to about 200 pounds, which I heard that's what he gets up to.
Well, he's a chubby guy. Even when he's like at his best, he's chubby. So he's one of those guys mm-hmm. that sort of looks like Rodney Allen Rippey, sort of got the big cheeks, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, we'll see what he brings to the dance night. I think they're hoping that he will bring in some ratings, of course, to go up against that ESPN fight. Good luck with that, though. Two Mexicans, of course, going at it. And, you know, I was thinking about that. Per capita, country has the most moral champions as far as boxing is concerned. They don't make it in the amateurs. You got Akiter standing out as being an Olympic gold medalist, 28 and zip. You're picking him to win this fight tonight. He is a plus 270 underdog. I don't know where to go on that. I'm sort of stuck in the middle on that one. But let's switch gears. As far as New York City is concerned, boxing is concerned in New York City, is there anybody that could sell tickets if Lou DiBella was to like have an arena and say, boom, let's do something at the old Felt Forum? Is there somebody that could sell tickets in New York City right now if they open up boxing?
As far as anyone that DiBella may have, nothing pops up.
Okay.
You know, but Top Rank has a couple of guys. Edgar Berlanga, he's a New Yorker.
Yee.
He's Puerto Rican.
Yee.
I'm sure they have plans for him.
Cuddy's fighting him. Cuddy's fighting him next. Then you're fighting him. Then I'm fighting him. Those are his next three opponents. So he's 16-0 with 16 first round knockouts. You know, there's a pretty damn good chance he's going to be 19-0 with 19 first round knockouts.
That seems to be how they're gearing him. You know, and you know what? It reminds me of the what was that Humphrey Bogart movie? Was it the Heart of the Fall?
Yeah.
They build up this guy and then, you know, reality hits him in the face, you know, and I think that's going to happen to Berlanga, you know, and, you know, he's got talent, but, you know, he's fighting really like, I mean, I don't want to use the word bums, but he's fighting bums, you know, and then the way he carries himself outside of the ring, you know, I never saw someone who hasn't made $100,000, you know, posing with, all these six-figure cars. You know, it's like, it's real buffoonery, and, you know, but hey, he's young, and I guess, you know, maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't see him being a great superstar, you know, carrying the torch from Miguel Cotto.
Okay, you know, welterweight situation, you've got, we just told the aforementioned Errol Spence and Sean Porter and people like that, but there is a kid that looks like he is like the real deal, born in Dallas, Texas originally, of course, comes to us still from Texas. Virgil Ortiz, 16-0 with 16 whacks. Is Virgil as good as people say he is, and why isn't he getting Major League prime time?
Well, he's getting a good fight. He's fighting Hooker, who's coming up in weight, you know, former world champ himself. Maurice Hooker, yes, and he's got a good trainer, one of the best in the world, and Robert Garcia. I'm in on Virgil Ortiz. He's the way he's being brought up. He's under Golden Boy Promotions. Is he maybe the number two behind Ryan Garcia. Probably so on the Golden Boy pecking order. I think that he is the real deal at welterweight, and him and Jared Ennis is another promising welterweight who could eventually they could clash when they're both bigger names. I also like the kid that's fighting on Top Rank today, Zayas, the Puerto Rican okay. prospect. From the little bit that I've seen of him, he seems like he could be in that discussion maybe a year from now. So it's I'm in on Virgil Ortiz. I'm definitely buying his stock.
Okay, you brought up
one of the best fights.
You brought up Robert Garcia, of course, from Oxnard, California, former IBF 130 pound champion. I think he lost the title to Diego Corrales. What are the chances of him making 130 again? Garcia.
Robert.
Yo, you
his
man.
Brother?
No, I meant Garcia himself. It went right over your head. Damn. You are too new. All right. Yeah. Hey, I mean, he's like 220, ain't he?
Yes. Yeah. I think he celebrated a birthday like a week ago. Yeah.
Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to him. But he struggled. Listen, these guys star for 25, 30 years to make the weight, you know, in boxing and this and that. And then when they go off, some guys go off like Roberto Duran and gain some weight. Anyway, Sock, have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights tonight.
You too, brother. Should be a good day of boxing.
The great Socrates Palmer appearing exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide this Saturday edition. Of course, Saturday live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and a plethora of other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.